to the Pitched Industries podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to another episode of the Pitched Industries podcast. My name's Nick White, and for those of you who might be new to this podcast, this is where I sit down and have conversations with some of today's most influential creatives and ask them about how they've gotten to where they are today, things they've learned from their journey so far, advice they'd give aspiring creatives and students now, as well as a whole heap of other stuff. On this episode, I'm going to be talking with Lawrence Crossman Ems, who was the winner of the innovation category in the 2019 Red Bull Illume Image Quest. Although Lawrence is mainly known for his mountain bike photography, his talent spreads into a number of other photography genres, including landscapes and people. He's also been published on the front cover and inside most of Europe's best mountain biking magazines, including MBR, Dirt, and Mountain Biking UK. However, in today's episode, Lawrence is going to be talking specifically, among other things, of how he was able to capture this winning image and everything he had to do to make it happen. If you're listening to this podcast now and haven't seen the photo, you don't need to have seen it, but it could be a good idea to pause it now and just go to the Red Bull Illume or Pitched Industries Instagram feeds just to have a look. It's a pretty incredible image. However, I'm sure you guys are going to get the picture anyway, and I'm sure you're going to get a whole heap out of today's episode with Lawrence Crossman Ems. So without me rambling on any longer, let's get straight into it. Lawrence, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
As I normally do, I'm pretty keen to ask you a few short and sharp questions just to let the audience better get to know you. Are you all good with that?
Yeah, sure. By all means.
Sweet, man. So where do you currently call home?
North Wales in the United Kingdom. Born and bred here. It's a beautiful place, beautiful beaches, mountains, and plenty of things to do.
Whose work do you admire the most currently?
I follow quite a broad range of different people, I guess, over sort of different fields. You know, I take photos of mountain bikes and always about bikes, but I don't necessarily just follow all those bike people. I do admire so many of those bike photographers, but there's so many people outside of bike doing so much amazing stuff, which is just so great to look at as well. There's a couple of guys. There's a guy called Ruben Wu on Instagram. It's Ruben. He does these amazing drone light photography photos. Every time he posts a photo, I'm just like, how have you done that? Like most times you can kind of like, you can break down something and be like, okay, well, they've done it like that, or this is like that. But every time he posts something, I'm just like, I've got no idea how you've done that. Actually, just no idea. Everything's so perfect. You should check him out because.
Yeah, no, I will. I've never heard of him.
So it's insane. Yeah,
check that out.
He can draw like squares with a drone, with a light on the drone. And it's just like, how have you got it so accurate? It blows my mind every time. So and then there's a couple of guys that take car photos. I'm not a car person, but just car photographers just seem to be able to get the light of a car just so good. I always find that quite inspirational. And then I've got a friend who is called Jess Finley. He takes just amazing wildlife photos as well. Yeah. And just, there's so many amazing things being photographed. Instagram is just a field of just amazing talent out there. It's just so hard.
You can go down a fair few different rabbit holes there looking at a crazy amount of work out there.
For sure.
What's a favorite quote of yours?
This was a funny one because, I'm not really into famous quotes, but one that a really good friend of mine, Dave, we had when we were younger, we always used to say that everything happens for a reason. And it was kind of like, it was kind of one of those, just like something cool would happen or something great. You'd get an interview to a job or something when we were young. You're like, everything happens for a reason. And the funny thing is about that, it's just like, it's actually not the fact that everything happens for a reason. It's the fact that you've worked hard or you've been so focused on that actually happening that it becomes a reality because you put all your efforts into it. And then, but we always used to just joke about it. We just used to be like, everything happens for a reason. Like it was just like it was fate or something like that. But it actually wasn't. And I guess that's something that I've always kind of taken through with life and work, I guess, is like, everything does. Eventually, everything sort of does happen for a reason.
Yeah, you know, if you put the work in.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't get to where you are just by sort of sat there twiddling your thumbs waiting for it to happen. It's because you've got off your ass and you've got out there and you're doing it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I like that one, man. That's cool. So what's your favorite thing to do in your own time?
Outside of photography, I guess, is I love to just spend time with my wife and the dog and just enjoying sort of where we are. And we bought a house and we're sort of spending time renovating that. And that's really enjoyable. But I guess just riding bikes and being outside, it's kind of the other half of how I got into photography, really. It was bikes that got me into taking photos, and I still really enjoy riding bikes and getting out and just being out in the mountains and enjoying it, really.
What is a book that you would recommend to our audience?
I'm not a huge reader of books, but one that I have read recently is How to Give Up Plastic by William McCallum.
Cool.
It's just a nice little read about sort of how you can give up plastic in your daily life. And I think that's just definitely worth a read for anyone that's trying to minimize the single uses and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's an interesting thought process on a big issue, really, I guess, in the world.
It
definitely goes beyond giving up plastic. But I think it's definitely a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'll definitely be checking that one out for sure, and I'll add it to the reading list on the website for anyone that wants to check that out.
Perfect.
But the last one of the bunch now, and that is, if you could sit down and drink a beer and have a conversation with anyone in the entire world, past or present, who would that person be for you and why?
Yeah. So I guess this is really tough because there's so many people, that so many greats that have lived, you know, past and present. So it would be great to have a sit down with so many people.
Yeah, there should be a party or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get around everyone. But then someone that kind of, I guess, rings true quite a lot at the moment is Elon Musk. I think he'd be a good one to sit down with. He's a pretty aspirational character. He's extremely driven, successful guy, but then he's, you know, got this kind of underlying goal of furthering mankind to sort of heights that never really seen before, you know, sort of colonizing Mars and that sort of thing. It's kind of pretty out there sci-fi things. And I think, you know, he'd just be one of these kind of guys that you'd just kind of just say a topic to, and he could just like babble on about stuff for days. And you don't even need to say anything.
It would be interesting to ask him and really try and find out what motivates him to do all the things he's doing now, because like some of the things that he thinks about is just so abstract and out there and incredible. I suppose it would be cool to, you know, understand why he does a lot of the things he does.
And just that process of how you get to that point to be so successful in so many different fields across so many different businesses.
Must have a pretty good team.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, cool. Definitely. Now we've kind of jumped through all of them. I suppose it would make sense for us to really start the conversation out from the beginning. So can you please let us all know about really where your photography journey started, and maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I can't really ever say that I had a huge photography influenced background when I was growing up. My parents aren't photographers or anything like that. My parents don't ride bikes. You know, I had a relatively, I wouldn't say normal upbringing, but you know, I would play the normal sports and play rugby and football during school and that sort of stuff. But I always had this urge while I was growing up to try different extreme sports and that sort of thing. So I think I went through them all, really. I tried skateboarding and I was no good at that. And then I tried, then I tried rollerblading, and I wasn't really very good at that either. And then you go through and sort of dabbling on them, and then bikes was definitely one that stuck. And then I started with BMXing. I wasn't great, I wasn't very good, but it was just the one that I enjoyed the most, and it stuck. And then I met a friend in school who also really liked riding bikes, so we just went from there. And we were sort of probably like, I guess, 14, 15, around that sort of age, and we were just out in the woods, building jumps, riding bikes, having fun.
Yeah.
And then I guess it happens in quite a lot of friend groups. You have one person that's quite good, that's a bit better than everyone else, and it's like, oh yeah, cool, you go do that, and I'll stand on the side and watch you do that thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, one day I think I took out my mum's little compact camera and was like, oh yeah, we can just go take some photos. And it kind of, I guess that was just the birth of it, really. And it was just every time we'd go out, we'd throw the camera in the bag and then just take photos. And back then it was literally going out and taking photos and having fun. I think definitely what was you know, quite a big catalyst at the start was there's a website called Pink Bike. And it's probably like one of the world's sort of big mountain bike media outlets now. But back then it was kind of like, it wasn't a small community, but it was a worldwide community before Instagram and all that sort of stuff, where people would just go, they would talk, they would just chat. It was a bit of a forum. They'd just talk about bikes and post your photos and stuff. And I think that was definitely the start of, you know, taking photos, posting them online, and then going back and then being like, okay, how can we make this photo better? And people would critique, blah, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was just within a bike setting. And that was, yeah, that was definitely kind of the really early day catalyst for it, really. And then you sort of get to a point in school where you're like, okay, well, I guess I need to start thinking about going to university and that sort of thing. So, but I had no idea what I wanted to do and was like, what should I do? So I decided not to go to university after I went to what we have is sixth form. So you leave at like, 18, I think. And then I decided to go to Canada for a year, basically just go snowboarding and go mountain biking for a year. And just went out there by myself and just traveled around and went snowboarding, went mountain biking, took the camera, enjoyed it. And yeah, and then I came home, got a job in a mountain bike shop. It's called One Planet Adventures, just a local bike shop that's not far from me. They have a trail center there. Okay, and I started working in the bike shop. And then these opportunities came up to sort of take photos of bikes. And because it was a mountain bike shop, so mountain bikes were coming all the way through. And I'd just sort of take photos just during sort of time that I had, really.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but then just sort of opportunities started to come around. I think one of my first ever sort of paid jobs was for the shoe brand Teva. They were releasing a new range of mountain bike shoes and they wanted to do the launch up at the center where we were. And I think one of the bosses were like, oh, yeah, there's a guy at the bike shop. He takes photos. Why don't you sort of have him along?
Yeah.
And I think that was definitely the start of sort of the commercial work, because off the back of that, I worked with Teva for, you know, sort of 3 or 4 years working on different sort of commercial things. And that was, you know, one of the big jobs, I guess, that sort of took me to some places and took photos of the bikes. Really. And yeah, and that was sort of the start. And it just kind of started building up, really. Over the sort of the maybe like 1 or 2 years, I guess, of working at the bike shop, until it got to a point where I was taking so much time off of work in the bike shop to go and take photos. It was just like, well, I guess I've got to give this up. And at the time, I was like, I think I was 20, 21, that sort of, 20, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it didn't really occur to me to be like a silly move to give up a full-time job, because I guess I had never been in that sort of that security of the full-time job for so long that it never really become like a habit to work in a full-time job. So I was just like, oh yeah, sure. I'll just be like a full-time photographer.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's what's really like interesting. And I suppose it's kind of easy to make that transition from going at your photography part-time to full-time when you're working another job like you were at the bike store, so that when you build up enough commercial work, you can sort of just jump into the commercial side of photography full time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's definitely, it is definitely trickier for people who are not, you know, a little bit older, that you do have that sort of that comfort and that security, and you've become reliant on that comfort and security of a full time job. You know, you're getting X amount through the door every month for working your commercial job. To make that leap from that into a full-time photography job is a lot more difficult than doing it when you're a bit younger. But, you know, I think, I don't know, you just got to make that jump, really.
Yeah,
quite a lot of people that I talk to, quite a few local friends that have just been like, just do it, just make the jump, just give it up, just like give up the day job.
No, that's cool, man, that's awesome. So I understand that you are actually self-taught when it comes to photography, is that right?
I didn't go to university or anything like that.
How did you manage to teach yourself, I suppose? How did you go about that?
Definitely something that really helped the learning process, I guess, which I did a project, like a 365 day project, where I would take a photo for every day. Mm-hmm. Back then I used to post it to Flickr as well. I think it was to Flickr and Facebook.
I remember Flickr.
pre-Instagram days. And I did one of those. And that, you know, that was great. You know, that was you'd learn so many different things, and you'd learn, you know, even like you wouldn't even realize you're learning it, but you just think about, you had to think about an idea. You had to be like, okay, well, I have to take a photo today. What can I do? Yeah. So you'd try different things. You'd do loads of different things. I tried loads of different lighting things. You just let your imagination, there was no set idea to it. I just took photos really. And it was just whatever you could. And that I think that was really massive for that sort of that learning. But again, back then I didn't have reams of work coming through. I had quite, I wouldn't say a lot of spare time, but you had time to sort of think about stuff that you wanted to do. If you had like sort of an hour or 2 hours a day, you could sort of set something up and go and get something done. But then it's those sorts of things that you sort of don't realize that you're learning until then. You'd go into like a commercial setting and you're like, oh, have you got an idea? And you're like, oh yeah, why don't we do this? I tried this once. Let's go and do this. And it's like, it's, you know, all those things are just great experience to sort of bring into your work now, I guess. I guess I've always been quite a techie guy, I guess. Quite like sort of the fiddly and the more sort of technical side of the photography as well. You know, quite like getting bogged down on sort of focal lengths and shutter speeds.
No, well, it's definitely easy to see from looking at your work how experimental you are, or how you really like working with whether it's smoke machines or different sort of lights, and yeah, it definitely seems like you really like creating images that are more than just sort of how it looked on the day, I suppose. And I suppose that sort of leads on to the next thing which I wanted to discuss with you, which was you winning the innovation category in this year's Red Bull Illume Image Quest. So can you talk to us a little bit about that image, maybe describe it, and really talk about how you were able to capture it?
Sure. So the image is a photo of sort of a big puddle splash with a mountain biker, Katie Winton, sort of riding through the puddle, and the waves of the puddle as it parts. It looks like the parting of the Red Sea, a lot of people have said to me. There's these big walls of splashing water on the sides, and Katie's riding through this sort of barrel right down the middle. And I guess it was a bit of spur of the moment kind of thing, I guess. It was by far not a planned shot. We were out and there was a puddle. And we were like, oh yeah, let's give this a go. I don't even think I'd love to hear Katie's thoughts on how it went, because she was just riding a bike. Not that she wasn't interested, but she was quite happy just riding a bike, and I was taking photos, and I was just like, oh yeah, go do it again. And we ended up with some great images from that day, and that was definitely one of them. But I've always sort of been interested in sort of puddles, and I think it's one of those things. As soon as I see a puddle on a trail, I'm like, what sort of thing can we do? And I always quite like how sort of the water splashes and how it sort of reacts and all that sort of stuff. You can do so many different things with puddles, and I always get a bit fixated on them. But this one, that's just how it came sort of together, I guess.
Yeah, so how were you able to actually take that shot? Because I've been looking at it, I've been trying to figure out like how you've actually managed to do that. It really is an amazing image.
Yeah, so many people, that's been like the big talk really. I guess that's why it hit so many people's notes. And it was especially talking to some of the judges on the night as well. They were like, how did you do it? And I'm not too sure if it's just from because I took the photo and I'm a mountain biker, and you kind of can get the physics of it, and you can kind of know. And you're like, okay, well, I just shot it like that. And people are just like, oh, I don't get it. You know, some people are like, oh, did she jump over you and then like land in the puddle? Or did you like dig a hole and like sit in it? It
was just like, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. What did you do?
I think it was just sort of a combination of just like fast hands and being really close and not really being too worried about getting too wet. I think I just knelt down by the side of the puddle, and then as soon as she rode through, I just like really went in there real quick with the camera and just sort of threw it right into the puddle. Yeah. And just did that. I think we did it two or three times. The thing with puddles is that, you know, once you've done it two or three times, you've emptied the puddle, so you're kind of game over.
You get the water bottles out.
You've got to find these like self filling puddles that have like a stream coming through to them or something, and then you can go all day on them. But you only have sort of like a couple of times to give it a go, and that was definitely one of them.
Yeah, it's definitely an incredible image, and to anyone who's listening to this, I will have it posted on the Pitch Industries Instagram page and also on the website, because it is something you can definitely look at for quite some time. But I want to ask, the Red Bull Illum Image Quest each year would have to be one of the most prestigious photography competitions there is. What does it mean to you to really have won this award? And what do you think it's going to do for your career?
It's amazing. Just completely unexpected. I guess I never really sort of prepared sort of a thought of like, oh yeah, when I win, it'll be like this. Because I never really thought I was going to. So it was just like, I still sort of have a bit of a thought and I'm just like, oh yeah, well, I just won that. It's just like, oh, that's insane.
Yeah.
It's something that I've submitted to for I think for each year that it's ever happened. And I never really thought that I never got through. It was the first time that I ever got through to the semifinals. I got a video into the semifinal category and I got the photo into the final. And it's the first time that I've ever had sort of anything through. Mm. So I was just generally just excited for the whole process along the way. It's not like I've been there before and then failed at hurdle or anything like that. It's just, you know, it was just going down the line of it. So on the night to win was just another level really. So that was massive. Yeah. But just to win the award, I think it's a bit of sort of, it's an affirmation of hard work, I guess.
Yeah,
it shows to me, just on a personal level, that it shows that sort of the years of hard work have been sort of worth it, I guess, that you know, it's come to this, I guess. And what it will do for my career, I'm not too sure, really. Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see sort of where it goes. There's sort of directions that I want to go within sort of myself as a photographer, but then also as a business and, you know, sort of I'm open to sort of how that path is going to sort of develop.
Yeah, well, I suppose winning that award definitely puts your work in front of a very large international audience, that's for sure. And as soon as I saw that image, I was like, oh my God, like, who is this Lawrence guy? I need to look at all of his work. And your work is incredible, man. So yeah, well done on that. It's very, very impressive.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
I kind of have got a whole heap of other questions that I want to ask you. And the first of which is regarding your creative process. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
This is definitely an interesting one because I wouldn't really say that I have like a set creative process, you know, that all things sort of go through this workflow of creativity, I guess, if you were to say it like that. I think it depends on sort of what type of work I'm working on at the time. I work on such a range of different types of stuff, you know, commercially and editorial, bike and then sort of non-bike stuff. And then I shoot video and I shoot photos as well. And I think all those sort of different outlets need different creative processes to get the best out of it. And again, they don't always have to fit that flow. You know, if you're doing something commercially and you've got an idea, then yeah, that might take weeks of planning and sort of prep, and you need to get all this together, you need to do that, you need to build props or whatever, you know, those things sort of take more time. But then there's the editorial side where it's like, okay, well, you've been booked for a shoot, this is what you're doing, make something work and get the shot. You know, you don't really have it, you don't have any sort of time to plan or anything like that, you're out there and you've got to get the shot. And sometimes that's just what happens as well, that sort of that spur of the moment thing. And yeah, I wouldn't really say that there's like a creative process. I think, again, you know, things like Instagram, you can look on there for days for different bits of inspiration, I guess, and all that sort of stuff, and be sort of inspired by loads of other people. And you know, you never know when an idea might come to you. You might just be out for a walk and then be like, oh, that's the idea. That's what I've been, that's what I've been looking for.
Oh my God, a puddle.
Exactly. Yeah. You just, these sort of things, you might try out a couple of shots before something, but most of the time I think you just work it out when you're sort of out there, really, and take that sort of that experience from past stuff to try and better something.
Yeah, absolutely, that's a really good point. Well, look, I kind of want to move this on a little bit now, and I really want to ask my favorite question of the bunch, and that is, what is the most influential piece of advice that you've ever received?
I guess on your travels of going through, you pick up lots of different pieces of advice and you pick and choose what you want to hear, really, I guess, and what you take away from different things. And I definitely think that something that I feel like I've received over the time and what I would sort of say to anyone that wants to sort of get into anything is just enjoy it, you know, enjoy what you want to do and enjoy what you want to create, and it will come from that. You know, I get my enjoyment from bikes and I get my enjoyment from taking photos, and then I just merged them together and I can just take photos of bikes, you know. I couldn't be any happier to do that, really. And there's nothing worse than not enjoying it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, well, I suppose that's it. Like merging your passion with your creativity, I suppose, would be a good starting point for a lot of people who are getting into photography.
Definitely. And I think, for people getting into photography, you know, it's like, you might meet someone and be like, oh yeah, I really like taking photos. And it's like, okay, well, what do you like taking photos of? Well, I don't know, just like going out and taking photos of, I don't know, trees and stuff. And it's like, ah, yeah, but if you like find something, you know, you find a passion or find something that, or a niche or something like that, that you really like to take photos of, you know, it's like, you can run a mile with it as long as you enjoy it. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't take photos of cars because I don't like cars. You know, it's like, I'm not a car person. I take photos of bikes because I enjoy bikes. I'm not trying to say everyone should go out and start taking photos of bikes, but you should just take photos of the things you really enjoy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it'll stem from that interest in that subject, the sort of the motivation to just keep going out there. And then you know, meeting people within that sort of field and growing it from there, really, I think is just, that's the super important bit.
What's something in your journey so far that you have really struggled with, and how have you managed to work through it?
Something for me that was definitely a real stumbling block at the start was I didn't really learn anything about business. I think that was definitely the stumbling block of at the start, you know, when you're 20, 21, is learning how to do invoices and tax returns and you know, and receipts and all this sort of stuff. You just don't know it, you know. You just make it up as you go along. You know, for the first time someone says to you, oh, can you send us an invoice? You're like, what's an invoice? What's a purchase order? You know, it's like, you don't know what these are if you've not been taught. And that was definitely something for me at the start. There was that you just had to learn on the go and you just had to work it out.
Yeah. Did you have any mentors or people you were able to go to for advice regarding that side of things?
No, not at all. Like no one, you know, my wife, who, you know, sort of girlfriend at the time, we sort of met when I was sort of 20, 21, you know, she would help. But again, you know, she's not a business degree person either. But we, you know, we sort of help each other in that sort of thing. But yeah, didn't have a mentor or anything like that, or someone you could go to. Just a lot of Googling and working out as you go along. You make a mistake and you learn from it and you crack on and go again. You know, and I think, you know, that sort of rings true with the photography as well. You know, it's like you take a photo you weren't happy with, you analyze it, and you work out how you can do it better. And
there's,
you know, so many things in life that you can sort of apply that to that you can sort of grow and become better. It was definitely a pretty steep learning curve at the start.
No, I can imagine. I was the exact same way. I went to university and came out learning a whole lot about how light works and different photography concepts and histories, I suppose, of it. But what I feel like I didn't really learn a whole lot of was, you know, the business side of things, like actually being a freelance photographer. And that's sort of what led me to start this podcast in the beginning. But yeah, it is very hard at the beginning to find a lot of that information out. And I think it kind of does help to just reach out to anyone at times to see how they do it. Most people are pretty understanding and open to helping you out.
I think, yeah, no, for sure. Definitely now, more than ever, you know, it's like, you know, pre-Instagram, pre-YouTube, you know, and I only say it from experience, and I'm sure the guys before me, you know, the generation before and the generation before that had their struggles as well. You know, I'm not denying it, but now more than ever, it's not easy, but it's now more accessible than ever to get into anything, really. You know, you just have to go onto YouTube and type in whatever you want, and there'll be a video about how to do it. You know, we didn't have that. I didn't have that. You know, so you just sort of, you just have to learn it, you know. It's like you just have to find out how you just find a different way of learning it, I guess. But, you know, that Instagram and YouTube just makes it so accessible for people to get into it. And, you know, I totally advise anyone to, if you want to find out about something, just YouTube it.
For sure. There'll be someone explaining it very well and, you know, really making it easy. Well, that's been my experience with YouTube learning and all that sort of stuff.
Definitely. And, you know, and I think, but it still comes down to it though. It's like, you can still take the most amazing photos, or you can still do the most amazing of whatever you do. But if you can't, you know, if you want it to be like a, if you want it to be a profession or a job or anything like that, if you can't sell it, or market it. You know, it's like, it's not, it's never going to become a business, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is pretty hard to start a business or run a business without some sort of marketing, I suppose. But look, I do want to move forward a little bit now. And before we wrap up today's conversation, I'm pretty interested to find out, what are some things that you want to do with your photography moving forward? Are there any particular ideas or issues that you'd like to explore?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm sort of, I guess I'm more driven than ever, really. You know, I'm always, you know, always driven to go out and take better photos and all that sort of stuff, and shoot bikes and try new things, explore new places, meet new people. But I definitely think, like, a big one for me, and especially has been a thought over the last sort of couple of years, is trying to think a bit more environmentally. You know, it's definitely a growing concern that, you know, sort of my life is traveling around the world. You're traveling by plane and not really having, like, a massive thought on how much it's affecting the planet, you know.
Yeah.
I think we are, you know, as a society, I guess, or as a civilization even, you know, we're definitely doing a good job of really, really messing things up. And I think we need to sort of turn it around. And, you know, these coming years, definitely I'd like to look at sort of ways of how I can sort of reduce my carbon footprint, traveling less by plane and sort of reusing and recycling and that sort of thing. And it's not easy, you know. I think, you know, going back to, like, the start about the little book about plastic, it's like, it's all great, we can all do these sort of little things sort of day to day,
absolutely,
at home in the sort of their lives. But then when you put it onto sort of the business side, you know, or sort of when work calls, it definitely is harder, you know. It's like, well, I've still got to earn the money, so you got to go out and do it, you know. It's like, if someone says, oh, okay, well, you've got to fly to Spain or whatever to do a shoot, you're like, oh, cool, I'll jump on the plane, I'll just go get there. And it's like, you don't really ever think about the impact
that's having.
But yeah, I've thought long and hard about throwing a piece of plastic into the bin and not putting it into the recycling, you know, and you've got it in your hand and like, yeah, I should recycle this. But I'm not thinking twice about jumping on a plane, and going on a plane makes, you know, 20 times more damage than not recycling a piece of plastic. So yeah, it's a tricky one, I think. And I think it's definitely something that's going to be harder to explore. I'd love to do more stuff locally, you know, sort of work within sort of the Wales area. That's something that I'd love to explore and try. Yeah. It's a tricky one that I think is going to sort of unravel itself over the next coming year, you know, sort of definitely months and years, really, of how it sort of goes. Who knows? Who knows how this good world is going to cope with everything?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's another whole completely different issue that we're going to have to face. And I reckon we could probably talk about this for about 6 hours. So
yeah.
Look, I'm going to just take this opportunity now to let the audience know that I'll have links to everything that me and Lawrence have spoken about today over at pitchedindustries.com. But Lawrence, are there any places you'd like the audience to go to find out more about what you've got planned for the future and see more of your work?
Sure, no, definitely. Instagram is always a good one for me. Go take a follow on the old Instagram. That'll be much appreciated. And keep an eye on the website, lawrence-ce.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll have that link in the show notes below, as well as, again, over at the website. But I just want to say, Lawrence, thank you so much for taking the time again to talk with me. And yeah, congratulations again on your Red Bull Illume Image Quest win. It's an amazing image. Well done.
Thank you ever so much, Nick. Much appreciated. And yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
So that's just about it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, like always, and I hope you were able to take away a thing or two from Lawrence and I's conversation today. If you haven't already, could you please subscribe to this podcast and head over to Pitched Industries on Instagram, just to keep in the loop with any future episodes that I'll be releasing, as well as a whole heap of other things. But until next Tuesday, when I release the next episode of this series, I hope you have an awesome week, and I'll chat to you then. Cheers.